All right. And here we are. The Gil Can Run Show, episode 3. Buon pomeriggio. Good afternoon. From Burlington, Vermont. I just completed the Burlington, Vermont City Marathon. It's actually the People's Bank United or whatever Vermont City Marathon. I don't know. Say, Vermont City Marathon. Yeah. Metal's not like too audacious or anything. Kind of bummed about that, but it's cool. I had a great time. Top two marathon for me, definitely. Philadelphia and this one are like one and two, and you know, they're both really great. My time, generally, as much I want to do a marathon under 4 hours eventually, that is a goal. I wanted to do 4:15 today. That was not to be. I started cramping up around mile 16, 17. My calf muscles still hurt. At one point, my left calf and my left shin were cramping at the same time. Yeah, there was nothing to do. You couldn't stretch out one side because the other side got worse. So I just had to stand there and wait for it to get better. That probably cost me about 2 minutes right there. And then mile 23-ish, I realized I was having an asthma attack. And to make matters worse, my inhaler is not working right. So I gotta go get a new inhaler. Bad news. I have coffee right now. I'll probably be reaching for coffee. That's terrible camera craft on my part. But I don't give a shit. Right now, I have no tripod. I'm sitting in a hotel room. I don't have a tripod when I've done the other two episodes either. My tripod is in storage somewhere after the fire. I need coffee right now just because I need some caffeine. And I drink my coffee black. I mean, straight up, no sugar. No milk. I like coffee when I want coffee. When I'm in Italy, it's espresso all the time. So, Boca Junior is the jersey. I like wearing soccer paraphernalia, football paraphernalia. I picked this up when I was in Buenos Aires for the Buenos Aires Marathon last year, my friend's wedding. Thank you, Lucho and Ceci, for inviting me. I got a Boca Juniors jersey because Boca Juniors is their team. And it was a lot of fun to go and hang out with some friends and run a marathon and check out some cool stuff. And Buenos Aires is awesome. If you ever, you know, are like, oh, let's go to South America, go to Buenos Aires. If you're there in October, run the marathon. Seriously, run the marathon. It's flat. It's fast. It's pretty cool. It's a little bit warm, but it's pretty cool. So anyway, Vermont City Marathon. Great crowd. I probably got like 50 high fives. I could have gotten more, but I had set my goal for 30. Got 50 and was like, all right, I'm going to focus. I got 15 from runners. On top of the 50 from the crowd, and one drag queen, which is cool. I missed the other drag queen. I kind of felt bad. But, I mean, just, it was a crazy, crazy scene. Like, the whole city of Burlington was out for this. It was so cool. It was so much fun. Lots of support, lots of cheering. I actually got a compliment. I was very happy about this. This is the best thing anyone said to me after a marathon ever. There was an ice foot bath in the eating area for the marathoners. And I had gone in. Oh, so nice. I had offered some ice wrestling to some people. Nobody wanted to take me up on the ice wrestling. I kind of wish that they had. I could have used being completely covered in ice. But the foot bath was amazing. So I'm sitting there, and I came back over that way. I was grabbing some Gatorade. The Gatorade was right next to it. And because I didn't sweat from mile 18 to mile to the end. I did not sweat. I was dehydrated. That's why my legs were cramping. And it kind of sucked. I didn't really look at the weather as it was at this point. I need to do that. I need to figure out what the temperature exactly was. Because definitely when it hits this temperature, I need to carry water on me. I sweat a lot. I get dehydrated easily. And I don't know the cutoff. I have not studied the cutoff for marathons for me with water. Anyway, back to the foot bath. So I'm going over to get some Gatorade. And there's this lady sitting there. She had a pink singlet on. And she had one foot in the bath. And I said to her, I said, let me tell you, put both feet in. You're going to love it. And she looked at me. She goes, I loved running next to you. You know, I slowed down. I ran next to so many people at different points because when I'd start cramping up, I'd just start walking, and I'd walk until I could run again. And so I don't know exactly where. It's probably towards the beginning. She said, I loved running next to you, she says. You were so positive. You had such a great attitude. It was so much fun to run next to you. And I think that's what we should all do, honestly. You're out there running. I don't care if you're running a 1 mile race. I don't care if you're running an ultra marathon, you know, and I was cramping up at the end and I was grimacing and I was in pain and I mean, the look on my face must've been something traumatic. I can't even imagine. Once I see those pictures, I never buy pictures anyway, but like, I'm not going to buy those pictures. I know, because my face is going to look like some sort of, you know, hospital patient. It was terrible. But, you know, like, I still did my best to stay up. And I think we should all do that. I think you should always try and remain positive, you know, that not just for yourself, but for the people around you. You know, it's good, I think. I think if we were all more positive, we would be, you know, because, like, it adds up. So one person's positive, the next person, you know, maybe two, three people see them and it picks them up and they're positive and, you know, it spreads out. And if you keep going, like, you know, it eventually would infect everyone. Infected with positivity. PMA. Bad Brains have a great song, Attitude. We don't care what you think, we got that attitude. We don't care what you say, we got that attitude. I might be mixing them up at this point. I mean, my brain is fried after a marathon, so, you know, we got that PMA. Positive mental attitude. So, you know, just saying. Yeah, so that was really cool. It was a really cool compliment. I was really happy about that. It took the edge off of my unofficial gun time 4:31. I was maybe a minute away from gun time, so I'm probably like 4:30:10. So I'm 3 minutes off of a PR, 15 minutes behind where I really wanted to be, where I really should have been. And according to my splits, up to the half, at the half I was at 2:03. So that's a 4:06. But you know, I knew I was going to slow down a little bit, but I really tanked between the half and mile 20, which is what, 6.9 miles. I went from, it was 2:06 to the half, mile 20, I was at 3:33. So that's, you know, obviously I started cramping up in there. That's where I had to stop and just wait for my leg to be able to continue. You know, but I did my best. I did my best. I put my work in. I rested up this week, and it was just an oversight on my part. You know, it was warm enough. I should have had my water bottle. I didn't. I ate. I took a Gatorade or two Gatorades and water or two waters at every single water stop. They were a little bit spaced out, though, like 2.5 miles in between most of them. So it was not enough, And that's my fault. That's my failing. It's all right. I'll get them again. I got, you know, Poughkeepsie coming up in a couple weeks, and there's another chance. And I have a chance every month, right, this year. So we're just going to keep going. I've decided at this point, when I hit December and I get my 12 in 12 months, I am going to take a break from marathoning. A couple months, at least through the winter, I'm going to take it easy. I'm not going to worry about mileage next year for training or anything like that. I'm going to work on speed. I'm going to work on getting faster. I don't want to qualify for Boston. I don't want to do anything amazing. I don't want to win anything. I know I'm not going to. I'm okay with that. You know, I'm not here to compete. I'm here to better myself. And I want to be faster. I don't want to be a speed demon, but, you know, I want to be able to do a sub 25K. There are things, you know, there are other goals in running that I want to do besides distance. There's other goals in running that I want to do besides marathons. And, you know, I think after doing 12 and 12 months, which will actually be more than 15 and 15 months, I think I earn the right to take a break from the really long distances and work on some of my other goals. And that's what I'm going to do. You know, and I think it'll be good. It'll be fun. It'll be all right. So, you know, overall the race was good. Burlington is great. I really enjoy it up here. When I was a kid, I used to hate coming up here. But it turns out, as I got older, like, most of my best memories from childhood are up in Vermont. And so it's been really nice to see how things have changed. It's been nice to see the things that have stayed the same. It's nice to, you know, get reacquainted with the area. It's lovely up here. Everybody's friendly. All the restaurants I've gone to so far have great food. If you're ever in, I gotta say this, if you're ever in Winooski, which is just north, I think it said Winooski, I'm not sure, just north of Burlington, literally an exit north of Burlington, there's this place, Tiny Thai. If you like Thai food, if you like drunken noodles, go there. And also get the ginger iced tea. It was phenomenal. I ate so much, I actually was, like, hurting. My stomach was hurting last night, which I really shouldn't have done, but it was just so good. So, you know, it was cool, and I enjoyed it, and I've enjoyed Burlington so far. I have tonight, gonna go get some dinner with my friends. My friends, okay. So, our friend Pete, who is with my running club, Milford Roadrunners, his gun time was 3:31. I think he actually came in a little under 3:30, which is good for him. He's in the age group where 3:30 is a BQ. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to qualify for Boston. You know, he may have to do another marathon. We have to wait and see. But absolutely phenomenal time. I don't care. And I don't care if you qualify for Boston or not. You're doing a 3:30. At any age, you're doing fantastic. You're doing great. Now, Jeremy and Becky, also from Milford Roadrunners, today is Becky's birthday. So happy birthday, Becky. So cool. I got to run a marathon with somebody on their birthday. So very cool there. Also, she had meant to run the New Jersey Marathon. She was having IT band issues. I've had IT band issues. They suck. I was able to just kind of power through mine, use an IT band isolator, and I'm not going that fast anyway, so, you know, it was kind of like, you know, just kind of dealt with it. It took me about a year and a half to get rid of it. She's much faster than I am. So she was supposed to run New Jersey, IT band issue, she ran the half. That was the longest run she did between then and now. She finished today 4:22, gun time. I think it was like 4:22:33. And Jeremy, who's like ultra fast, he did like 3:15 in New Jersey. So he's a pretty fast dude. And he stayed with his wife today on her birthday. And that was very sweet and very cool. And, you know, he finished 4:22:32. So he came in just a second ahead of her. Very cool. You know, I'm really proud of everyone that I know that ran this race today. I'm very proud of everybody that runs every race every day. And it just, that's the way that it is. You get out there, you do it, you have my respect. I don't care what distance you're doing, I don't care what time you're doing it in, you're doing it. And that's just so awesome. And it's really, really just the coolest thing in the world to have all these people. And, you know, with a marathon like this, with all the people packed on the sides of the road, you know, there's this one place, oh, I can't remember the name now. It starts with an L. Oh, God. They have, it's like this little neighborhood that you run through, and they have shirts made up with the name of the neighborhood on it, and they have all these people out playing instruments and music, and they even have, like, the Music Mile, and, you know, all the kids are out there handing, you know, waters out and stuff. It is so phenomenal. It is so cool that all these people come out and get this done. I don't have words for it. It is very, very cool. You know, just all along the course, there are people up on bridges and, you know, all sorts of stuff. It's a great atmosphere. It's a lot of fun. Beautiful views of Lake Champlain. And nice Vermonty mountain pictures and stuff that you're just running through. I cannot speak enough about this marathon and just all the cool stuff. So, had a lot of fun. Really didn't think about much. You know, I was just kind of trying to stay focused, particularly towards the end. I was trying to stave off the cramps and go as fast as I could. Even when I realized I wasn't getting 4:15, I'm like, okay, I could still PR this. And then the asthma attack hit and I was done. So, you know, it's disappointing. It is. I'm proud of myself and I'm definitely happy with the compliment I got about the positivity. But, you know, I didn't make my time. I didn't do what I wanted to do. And that is a downside. But that's okay. My buddy Lance, Oxentrot, Oxentails on iTunes. He does one of these too. He is, I've mentioned before, the one that talked me into this. He ran Buffalo today. Originally, I was going to run Buffalo with him. Things happened. I ended up not going to Buffalo. I ended up coming here. I'm glad I came here. I hope he had fun in Buffalo. I did not get the Canadian National Anthem. I do not know if he did yet or not. At the Buffalo 5K he did, which I think he did a couple of years ago or last year. They did do a rendition of O Canada because Buffalo's right there on the border. Burlington did not do O Canada. I'm sure that there were Canadians in the crowd. I saw plenty of Canadian flags as I was running around. So, you know, just saying. It's Canada. They're nice. They're good people. I can't complain. So, but, you know, so it was a good time. It was a good time. I was out there. Kept it going. You know, and got the job done. Not the time I wanted to, got the job done. What are you going to do? So driving up here was fun. I rented a car because my Jeep is older than my last three girlfriends and a couple girls that I was kind of messing around with, all over 18. Thank you very much. I am a good boy, just not that good. So, sitting there. And, you know, we're driving up. I'm driving up. We're the Royal We, I guess. I'm driving up. I had rented a car. I had gotten a compact car. I don't need big cars. I'm not a, oh, I need my room kind of person, because I give a crap. You know, car gets me from where I am to where I need to be, and that's that. I don't care about, you know, I mean, comfort is, you know, my ass doesn't hurt when I get out of the car, no matter how long I drove. That's all I care about. If my ass and my back aren't hurting, I'm good. So I was like, all right, get a compact car, whatever. Well, I was having trouble with my credit card. By the time I got it all sorted out, there was a lady in front of me. She was getting an upgrade into a Chrysler 200. She didn't want it. She thought they were charging her more. They're like, no, we're not. So they ended up giving her the Hyundai Elantra that I was supposed to get. So when I got everything sorted out, they're like, well, we just gave away your car. Would you want the Chrysler 200? Won't cost you any more. Okay. So I took the 200. I did make it contingent on the gas mileage, which wasn't bad. It was, I ended up 31 and a half, I think, up here. It'll probably be better on the way back, because once I get out of the mountains, it'll pick up and it'll stay up until I get back home. So that's actually important to me. These are things that I worry about. We've discussed my minorly, we've discussed my environmentalism, my philosophy of the world, and things like that. So they said, yeah, it gets decent gas mileage. I said, okay, we'll give it a spin. And, you know, I did okay. Funny thing about driving through Massachusetts without state plates. Even when I was a little kid, I remember this. If you're going up 91 through Massachusetts, you will find that if you speed at all, particularly in construction zones, the Massachusetts State Police will gladly pull you over. I did not get pulled over. But I saw no less than 5 people pulled over. All 5 of them had out-of-state plates. All 5 of them were in construction zones. One of them was 500 feet from the Vermont border. Do not, under any circumstances, if you have out-of-state plates, speed through Massachusetts. I went at 65. I went 70 most of the way. I'm a little sniffly. Lots of pollen. Had an asthma attack. I'm sniffly. So, do not speed through Massachusetts. That's it. There was one speed trap in Vermont. It was just south of Montpelier, the capital, if you're wondering. It was kind of funny because there's these two cops standing out there, state police, and they had like some sort of monocle or something that they had up to their eye. And then you see a line of squad cars behind them. And just when they would see somebody, they would just send one of the guys out. And they sent somebody out right after I passed them. And I freaked out a little bit. Because in Vermont, they go a little bit faster. I was going 75. And I was like, oh no. But he came up behind me and he flew past me, pulled up a guy probably about half a mile in front of me. So I made it through okay. It was pretty cool. Pretty funny to watch. And all I could think of was Super Troopers. If you watch movies like that and you haven't seen Super Troopers, like Half Baked and, you know, Beer Fest and movies like that, if you haven't seen Super Troopers, see it. It's the same guys who did Beer Fest. Very funny, and it happens to take place in Vermont, in northern Vermont, and it's one of my favorites. And the fact that I'm in northern Vermont, and actually it was a Montpelier police cruiser that pulled over the guy in front of me, but still, like, you know, it was state police who were out there, and it was just all I could think of, littering and littering and littering and smoking the reefer. I mean, I love that movie. Anyway, so drive up was pretty uneventful. Made it up here, got into my hotel, had a black bean burrito. I have not had, no, not true. I had one piece of meat. there was at the expo this turkey sausage thing, and I was just like, ah, screw it, I'll try it. And it was one piece, and I was like, ah, I'm never trying that again. Other people really enjoyed it. I'm sure it's very good, but it was just kind of eh to me. They had a lot of other cool stuff at the expo. They had this protein peanut butter, and it was like a straight up peanut butter mixed with like cookie dough, a peanut butter mixed with white chocolate. And a peanut butter with cinnamon. I forget the name of the brand. I need to find it. I need to eat it. I will get very fat. I need to be careful with that. So the expo was cool because of that. And L.L. Bean was there. Because, you know, up northern New England, L.L. Bean is... I mean, they're out of... Maine, and you know, they're actually, most of their stuff is made in Maine. So if you're looking for, you know, American made stuff, L.L. Bean's a good place to look. If you're not from America and you're watching this, you know, you probably don't care. But for the American viewers, it's one of those things. So they had a beer tent after, had a Goose Island, it was pretty good. Stopped off at like a, I forget the name of the place, but it was like Vermont Brew Pub, something. Had some gravy cheese fries and a couple more beers, and that was good. And, you know, just getting ready for dinner, and I figured, you know, while I'm on this, I just ran a marathon, put it down for posterity, let you guys get a review of the Vermont City Marathon in case you're looking for marathons to run next year. I definitely would suggest it. If you're like a 50-stater and you're looking to do Vermont, definitely do this one. It's pretty flat. There's like a couple hills. There's one big hill. And then there's a couple hills. Like, meh. And, you know, it's a good course. It's a good course to run. It's a pretty fast course. The bike path at the end, they say, oh, it's downhill. First off, it's not. It's mostly flat, not so much downhill. And it's a little bit bumpy, but, you know, you get through. It's not bad. I've definitely run on worse. So, you know, just... It's a really good marathon all around. It's a good course. Great people, good food, good atmosphere, good beer, good preparation. Porta potties were decent. There wasn't too long a line. I think I waited like 4 minutes today. You know, hung in there. It was cool. Yeah, we did all right. And just Vermont in general is just a great place. And very nice. So, there's that. Other than that, I'm kind of bummed that I'm alone. I wish somebody had been able to come with me and hang out and have a good time. I don't really want to impose on my friends, you know, Becky's birthday, you know, go hang out with her for maybe a little bit, I hope, if they're not too busy. But beyond that, you know, I don't really want to, you know, be there. I want her to be able to hang out with her husband and have fun on her birthday and, you know, whatever. So, but here I am at this point. I'm going home tomorrow. I'm going to drive home. I'm probably going to do a recovery run first thing in the morning, just a mile or two, just to shake everything out. I'm about to slather some massive amount of Tiger Balm on my calves and my shins. Probably my knees and quads too. They're barking a little bit. I don't know where I'm going to eat. Haven't decided yet. I'm going to stay meat free tonight. It's going to be good. I don't care where I am. I know it's going to be good. There's a lot of vegetarian places up here, let me tell you. It's a very big thing apparently up here, which is cool. It's made life easy for me. I was looking at a bunch of different places last night, and I said, I'll do Thai. And, you know, they have meat on the menu, obviously, but they certainly had plenty of meat-free dishes. Yes, I got to keep the coffee going. It's gotten cold. I don't care. It's caffeine. It is sugar-free, calorie-free caffeine. There we go. I just, you know, tea, I got to put honey in it. I always use local honey in tea because it helps my allergies and it tastes better. Most of the stuff you get in the store that's just bottled honey from wherever generally isn't even really honey. It's marketed as honey, but it's not. I have a beekeeper in New Haven who, Swords to Plowshares, it's called. They sell at all sorts of different local markets. The Italian store by me has it. I want to say Whole Foods in our area has it. Lots of places have it. It is so good. And it's, you know, like a straight up, I think it's clove honey. I'm not 100%. I have to look at the packaging. Pretty sure it's clove honey. It is so good. So, I don't know if you know this about honey. I know a lot about honey. I like honey. Different flowers will give different flavors of honey. So the bees go collect the nectar, bring it back to the hive. Depending on what flowers they use, you get a different flavor of honey. Different consistency, different color, everything. In Italy, it's a big thing. Tisane. It's like herbal teas. And people will have several different kinds of honey to go with different types of herbal teas. And, you know, they're all on the label. Millefiori, clove, whatever. Millefiori means many flowers, thousands of flowers, whatever. Literally is thousand flowers. So, you have all this stuff going on, honey-wise, and that's just a little bit of knowledge for you. Just a little honey. It's good stuff. I enjoy it. I like it better than sugar in just about everything. When I'm not using maple syrup, which I have to get some maple syrup before I leave because I'm in the land of maple syrup. Sorry, Canadians. Vermont's better. I've had both. I prefer Vermont. Vermont maple syrup rules the maple syrup world. That is my feeling on it. I have Canadian friends that are now going to be very mad at me. I'll probably get beat up for saying that. That's life. Deal with it. So, there we are. That's what it is. That's what we got going on as far as that goes. Brown sugar. I will use brown sugar in things like my oatmeal. Cream of wheat. I'm a big fan of cream of wheat or farina. It's good stuff. And oatmeal. I like oatmeal. Ain't no shame in it. And not instant oatmeal. No. I need real oatmeal. I like it. It's good stuff. I could like live off of oatmeal and fruits. Fresh fruit, the best ever. My lemon tree sprouted. I am growing a lemon tree. It will take 6 years for that to fruit. I do not care. I wanted to grow a lemon tree. So I started from seed and it sprouted and I'm very excited about that. I have other sprouts because I had started a bunch of different seeds just in case. And I think I'm going to plant some of those and give one to my sister for a housewarming gift. She's moving into a house next weekend. And I haven't decided what I'm going to do with the other ones. But I think I'll plant them and see how everything goes and see what happens. So, there's that. I'm a big fan of growing your own whatever you can grow. Everyone can grow something, no matter where you live. There's a way. Even if it's a little something, like a high-yield something, like strawberries or tomatoes or something like that. You get control over your produce. If you stay away from genetically engineered seed, you will be able to keep using the same plants by taking the fruit of that plant or the seed-bearing pod, whatever, of that plant, taking out the seeds, preparing them for the next season. That is my problem with GMO. I cannot speak. I am not a scientist. I do not study these things. I cannot speak of any health detriment other than what I've read, which apparently genetically modified, you know, laboratory genetically modified. All the food we eat is genetically modified by selective breeding. It's true. Almost nothing we eat existed in nature in that manner. Very few things that we eat just came out of nature. Like broccoli, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, they all came from the same plant. And people just bred the plant to express different traits in it. And eventually, we ended up with all these disparate species, right, of things that we eat. So, everything's had a certain amount of modification. The difference between selective breeding and what people are complaining about now is, what they're doing now is, in laboratories, they're splicing in and out genes to do things. Selective breeding is you just see something you like, you keep breeding it until it is exactly how you want it. And there's no chance, because if something were going wrong and people were getting sick off of it, you would know and you'd stop breeding it that way. The problem with genetically modifying, you don't know. Because what they're doing is they're putting things in there, apart from suicide genes, which causes the seeds and the fruit to not reproduce, which is my main problem, because what you end up having, and let me talk about my main problem first and then we'll get into the rest of it. So what you end up having is you have these seeds that are not going to reproduce. So now, that's all well and good. Farmer A wants to use genetically modified stuff. Farmer B next door doesn't. Okay. And you're thinking, okay, well, his stuff, he'll have to buy new seeds every year. The other guy isn't going to have to buy new seeds. He'll be able to make his own seed and, you know, prepare his own seed and plant it next year. For a while. But what'll happen is, because pollinators don't get that the property line is here and these are GMO and these aren't. So the pollinators are going to go over to the GMO stuff. Then they're going to go over to the non-GMO stuff. They're going to cross-pollinate. And what you're going to end up with is the non-GMO stuff is going to end up getting taken over by the GMO stuff. And then Farmer B isn't going to be able to plant his seed anymore. He's going to have to go buy new seed. And apparently, the company that's doing the genetic modification, who I'm not going to mention because everybody says their name, and you know who it is, and certainly they've made jokes on Futurama and The Simpsons about it. Starts with a Mon and ends with a Santo. If they find out that your crops have cross-pollinated with their crops, and you're growing them and you're selling them and you didn't pay for the seed, guess what? They file a suit against you. How nice is that? You don't have control over it, but that's their patent. Well, food shouldn't be patented. Food should be food. Food is everyone's right. You need it to live. There's certain things in this world you need to live. And every single human being, every being should have a right to that which they need to survive. That's it. And no ifs, ands, or buts. You need something to survive, you should have it. What do you need to survive? You need air, you need water, you need food. You need clothing, and you need shelter. As a human being, you need clothing, and you need shelter. Not every creature needs clothing and shelter, but human beings do. We are very fragile beings, believe it or not. I know a lot of people don't want to think of us as fragile, but we are. We are very, very fragile. We die very easily when exposed to nature. A lot of that is our own doing at this point, but it's true. So, those are the things every single human being needs to survive. That's it. You need it, you should have it. You have a right to it. You have a right to exist, you have a right to be here, you have a right to live. End of. I don't care what you've done, I don't care who you are, I don't care what you believe in. You're alive. You have that right. Yes, even the bad people, they have that right. I don't believe in the death penalty. That's, get into that. That's going to be a, it doesn't do anything. Anyway, so now on to the problem, the other problem with GMO, which is, you know, some people say, oh, it's perfectly safe. Some people say, oh, no, no. Well, here's the thing. I can't imagine splicing in genes that make corn create its own pesticide is a good thing for humans to eat. I was raised, you have to wash off pesticides. You don't want to eat them. You see these guys walking around in fields spraying different pesticides on in these chemical suits, and then we're eating the stuff. And here's the thing, right? Because you think, oh, well, you wash off the fruit and it's good. But the fact is, this stuff's landing on the ground. It's going in the root system. The roots are sucking it up and putting it in the plant. So you're eating the pesticides. I get why you're eating the pesticides. You know, they've done a very good job over the years of getting us to believe that there's a scarcity of things. And there is and there isn't a scarcity of food. Eating meat causes a scarcity of food. Because they want you to eat meat. Because I guess they make more money off of it or something. So, you know, we're taught to eat meat, right? And I don't want to get too preachy, but here's the deal, right? So it takes like 5 times more resources, roundabout. I'd have to look up the exact numbers and quote it and everything. I'm not going to. But basically for 5 pounds of grain, you get 1 pound of beef. And so you can basically extrapolate out that it's taking 5 times the resources. And beef isn't even supposed to eat grain. Cows aren't supposed to eat grain. They're supposed to eat grasses. Okay? Grass-fed beef is better for you. There are like a billion studies out there that show that grass-fed beef is better all around. So, that's neither here nor there. So, they're all this grain, 5 times the amount of grain to get one thing of steak, right? So, if you sat there and just fed everyone the grain, which honestly, just all grain for everyone, or if you stopped growing so much grain and you started growing other vegetables and things that people could eat, guess what happens? You have more than enough for everyone. They already throw out a ton of stuff. The U.S. government will, because we are, you know, a major wheat producer, major corn producer, and what they will do is they will pay subsidies for farmers to basically destroy part of their crops because it helps keep the price stable. Okay? Because if the price goes too low, the farmers go out of business. That's not a good thing because everything's predicated on capitalism and it's kind of a crazy system when you really think about it. I know a lot of my friends very much subscribe to the system, and I don't want to get into an argument with them about it, but when you actually think about it, it is a system that requires people to be poor. Requires poverty. You have to have a lack of something on one end so you can have value to it on the other end. It's insane. But whatever. So you're making people suffer just because. Not saying that communism is great, because that has a whole host of problems too. But the fact is that there's somewhere in the middle where this can all be meted out and work and not be completely insane. So I've hit 45 minutes.
That's crazy. I can't believe that.
So, I have to wrap this up. Point being, control your own food. It's like printing your own money. You're going to be healthier. The food's going to taste better. It's going to be better. And best of all, you get a sense of accomplishment. I did this. I made this thing happen. Okay? I've when I was a little kid, always had a garden. I missed for the last few years, certainly last year. And I'm getting back into it, and I'm starting to really branch out and do some cool stuff. Lemon trees. I may do more. But you just, you know, go out. Oh, I don't have a green thumb. There's a million videos to watch. There's a million books to read. Read it. Follow the directions. Everybody can do this. Everybody should do this. You want to change the world? Grow a garden. Also run the Vermont City Marathon. It was awesome. So anyway, thank you for joining me. Episode 3 is in the books. It was cool. It was fun. I hope you had a good time. I hope you learned something. I hope you enjoyed. I will talk to you again. I don't know if I'm going to do another episode this week. I may wait until next Thursday because technically, you know, I've been releasing these on Thursday, Friday, and this is going to be a Sunday, Monday sort of thing. So, I don't know. I don't want to, like, overwhelm all of you. But have a great time. Have fun. Stay cool. Stay hydrated. And we will see you again soon. So, from beautiful Burlington, Vermont, home of the Vermont City Marathon, ciao. Keep running.